You're listening to Movie Sucktastic.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to present to you the internet.
In the real world, when you kill people, they die. For real. And in the real world, you're fucked.
I know it. It all sounds like some bad movie.
I did that backwards.
Wait, what happened here?
What'd I do?
No, it's not you.
You're listening to Movie Sucktastic.
Hold on. What happened? You know, it's been a while.
Ladies and gentlemen. What's wrong?
That's my fault. this is a perfect segue into the movie review. You know, I'm someone that works in the IT world, and I put the opening of the show 5 times instead of the slideshow. Yeah, that's my fault. Sorry, everyone.
Well, while you're fixing that, I'll just talk for a bit and say
start for a second.
I'll start us out here. Welcome to Movie Sucktastic, where the well-oiled machine that we are. I am Scott, the one frantically fixing the background is Joey, and today we're reviewing the 2001 blockbuster hit Antitrust.
That's the one. Blockbuster.
Blockbuster. Now, I didn't look up, but I'm pretty sure you did. I'm pretty sure this movie bombed. Did it not do well?
Terrible.
It had
a $30 million budget, and it made $18 million.
it's $100 million?
No, $30 million.
Oh, $30 million. I misheard. Sorry.
$30 million
is much more in line.
Yes, $30 million and. It made $18 million, had a $5 million opening weekend. It did not do well. It was a January release. It had everything going against it. I mean, the studios were the ones that were the most against it, and it probably tested so bad.
I vaguely remember this coming out in 2001. I remember commercials. I remember not seeing it. You know, I do remember that.
I remember that as well, and I remember a lot of the reviews were just saying it's like, yeah, it's Bill Gates. It's like the Tim Robbins is Bill Gates. So I think that's why when he meets Ryan Phillippe's character for the first time. Mm-hmm. What was his name in the movie? His name was
so Milo. Memorable.
Milo. I should remember Milo. That. My dog is named Milo, but whatever. anyway, so he says, doesn't Bill Gates have one of those? Like he's talking about the technology in his house. And he goes, Bill who? So that was obviously to point out that Bill Gates who? Small fish compared to what? Who I am and what I do.
Yeah, so let me back up a bit. When you challenged when we spun this on the wheel and it came up, my brain conflated this with The Circle, which is a decade later.
2012, 2015, something like that. Tom Hanks.
Yeah. Tom Hanks, and he played like a Steve Jobs type character. And it was about privacy, that kind of thing.
Right.
So this film like that is topical. And that's why I was so upset, because I didn't want to see that film. I didn't want to see this either, but at least it wasn't The Circle. Because that really... like that film, this film is topical for the time period, 2001, Windows, Apple. Obviously, this is when home computers were, you know, just becoming a common thing. But it's topical in a weird way because, so you know what antitrust laws are?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, so you're basically making sure that businesses
I'm reading
people...
some of these fucking memes that you put on here because I haven't I haven't seen them yet. So but forgive me if I'm like, huh, what?
Now I lost where I was.
You were talking about if I knew antitrust laws and all that.
Oh, yeah. So so this is a very real thing that was going on at the time and is still going on today, except with, you know, Google or Amazon. But you had, Microsoft and Apple both being accused of monopoly, trying to form monopolies, unfair trade practices. These are the kind of things antitrust laws cover. The title has a double meaning because Milo is taken under the wing of Gary Winston, Win as in Windows, and he kind of becomes a mentor to Milo. And so there's the whole lack of trust, antitrust. That's where that comes into play with the title. But the big problem I have with that is the whole beginning, the whole opening credit sequence sets up that and a bunch of other things, including a spoiler if you pay close attention. And it sets up the whole idea about antitrust. But like the laws he breaks in the film are kind of antitrust, but they're really more like murder and theft, which is a different thing. I mean, I feel like I just feel like it's a bait and switch. They don't really go much into the whole idea. Like the film could have gone really into the whole idea of taking other people's property, making sure like the whole setup seems like it was originally going to do that. Because the idea of bringing Milo in, having groups of people working as teams, so you can't really tell who did what, and sourcing it in, and like how they could use this to and monitoring other people. But then it just becomes a murder, like a murder conspiracy thing, and just a silly one at that.
Yeah, and you know, you would think for a billionaire, he'd get better henchmen. but I guess, you know, he's a cheap guy too. It's thrifty.
Well, what'd you think about the Tim Robbins character? I know they leaned more towards Bill Gates than Steve Jobs, but I think like they were kind of doing both in this. What do you think of the character he played? What they did with it?
you know, it's interesting because Tim Robbins is a director himself. He's a writer. How does he go into this and go, you know, digging this? I can't imagine that he just went into this project happy about it. I just don't think so. What did I think they did with him? Honestly, I don't think they did enough. I think he just...
Yeah, right?
He just kind of popped in and out every once in a while. And then, you know, near the end, he's like, this has gone on far too long. You know, give me those IP addresses one by one. It's like, what the fuck? Dude, 20 years ago, it's like, you're not giving me IPs one by one. Like, and why is somebody reading them off to me? It's just like, stop it. These are your IPs, bitch. I mean...
At least the screen, like the stuff on the screens made more sense, even though it was basically HTML for the most part.
You know, I was going to bring that up too. And I'm like... I'm looking at the code there because I've just drowned in HTML because I redesigned our entire website. You know, I grabbed the template that I really liked, but I had to edit a lot of HTML to make it, you know, from what I felt we needed. So I've been drowning in HTML, HTML5, JavaScript. I've been drowning in it for a while, and I'm looking, I'm like, why is this HTML on the screen? This is not going to do anything. Is he making a website? Like, what?
We'll get a bit more into some of the technological choices for the film. But going back to Tim Robbins as the it seems like they wanted to lean more towards the Bill Gates kind of character, who's a frumpy nerd, and the best they really did with that is that he doesn't wear a tie often, and he eats potato chips like he's a fucking idiot.
Well, yeah, and I think. I mean, the only thing missing in those scenes was a fucking Jolt Cola in his hand.
He had a Pringles can.
He did have a Pringles can.
Plenty of product placements.
But the thing is, it's like, you know, back in this time period and even earlier than that, like Jolt Cola or anything with caffeine, if you're a programmer, you're up to all hours because you're meeting deadlines and programming code is difficult, which...
Hackers had that covered.
They did. Yeah. But... You know, I think what those scenes were showing, it's like, listen, I was you 20 years ago and I'm still that way. So that's, you know,
that's what they're trying to do. Yeah. They're definitely trying to go towards the, it's a young kids market. I'm an older guy, but I still dig with the kids and the whole thing of like a man child, like, oh yeah, I'm a businessman, but I still play video games and walk around in sweatpants and stuff. And the best they could do was I have a nice, like, craftily designed freezer with soda pop in the back, and watch how I eat chips and let them fall out of my mouth. That's it. That's the extent they could do to give him any kind of personality. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, they really focused all their energy on the Steve Jobs, like, presentation stuff and the mentorship and the trust. If it wasn't obvious that they were trying to go for that, it wouldn't matter. But since you know they're going for that, I mean, there's so many Easter eggs in the film that point to Apple and Windows and Microsoft.
But
it's so obvious that that's what they're leaning towards. That the fact that they don't lean into it at all is just annoying.
yes, very much so. And you know what too, when they would go into his house, they were in his house a few times, and they would go into some of his
mansion.
Rooms. Well, yes, mansion. Like mega mansion, but they would go into some of his rooms, and the inside of some of these rooms kind of looked like the inside of a video game levels, almost like the brickwork, the mm-hmm. the kind of carpet, the coloring. You know, it's like, am I in Postal 2? You know, am I in Quake, you know, it's like when you go through like some of those rooms with the concrete work and I'm mm-hmm. looking at it and I'm like, this just looks like kind of like a video game. I don't know if that was intentional or not.
Also, you mentioned that scene when they walk in the room and the paintings change color, and that comes up later as a kind of a jump scare point. I remember the articles back in that time period about Bill Gates having because back then you didn't even have flat panel TVs. So the idea of having paintings and that would change when you walked in was out of this world.
Right. Right.
Yeah. You know, so I do when that happened, when we get to that point, I was like, oh, I actually remember that. So they were trying to be topical and they were making direct references and they were trying to. But again, they just dropped the ball and they put so much. I don't know. Oh, I have to remind you of our review of League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. What was one of your main complaints about the film?
One of my main complaints?
I'll tell you, because there were probably a few. Yes. Tom Sawyer's voice. You had a big problem with Tom Sawyer's voice.
Yes.
I would like to raise the same complaint about Ryan Phillippe's voice throughout this film.
Oh, yeah. The almost sultry delivery when he talked.
I like to call it the open your mouth and spit the fucking marbles out, you mumbling prick voice.
That was his acting style at that point.
Every time he opens his mouth in this film, I just want to slap him. I just, please talk properly. Please open your mouth.
You know, listen, back then he was a very popular actor. He was pretty to look at. So he was getting.
Hey, I think he does a good job in the film too. Don't get me wrong. I think he plays an introverted, a kind of introverted computer type person way better than Tim Robbins does.
Oh yeah, And you know he was serious every time he put his glasses on. He was serious business.
Computer, shut up. Sorry.
Yeah, you okay?
Yeah. The computer was yelling at me.
Oh, well, this is the review for that.
Yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was saying that, you know, when he put his glasses on, that's when he was down to serious business every time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just, it was almost every like time his he opened superpower. His mouth. And you know what surprised me too is at the beginning, when you meet the Lisa Calli- Rachel Cook's character, Lisa.
Oh, Lisa. Yeah.
The girlfriend.
Cook, yep.
Yeah.
Well, no, the girlfriend is Claire Forlani. She plays Alice.
Oh, I'm Claire. That's right.
Rachel Lee Cook is the other. She's the graphics designer.
That's right. She's the one that betrays him as well.
Spoiler alert, but yes.
But again, we've talked about that on the show. It's all spoilers. This is a review. God damn it. at first when they just like, oh, they show her, but there's like, they didn't focus anything on the relationship. And like the whole first act, you barely get to meet Alice. And so, so I was like, all right, so obviously he's going to fall for the Lisa chick. And then, he's going to drop her like a hot rock. And then those two are going to save the day. Cause again, I haven't seen this film before.
Yeah. And they set it up for that.
Yeah,
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but not only did they set up for it, but they could have had that come to fruition and it would have been fine.
Yeah, and like even in the second act, when like you find out that she's got like the bag of sesame seeds that she can kill him with, and how deep she is and everything as an undercover like mole.
Yeah, so just to clarify that, she was in trouble, and
they roped her in.
Which is never underestimate something.
What?
Nerve stands for never underestimate something vision. I forget what it was, but.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, what I'm getting at is they're in the data collecting business. So what he was doing is he was basically looking at people that were in bad ways. And he's like, listen, you want to get out of trouble? You know, come work for me, be a mole, do this, do this, do that, go take care of this person. So there's a flashback that he has to him in an ambulance, and she is there with him because he had sesame seeds and he almost died. So what that tells me is that Tim Robbins' character, Gary Winston, had her meet him or poison him with sesame seeds so that they could meet and then force her to become his girlfriend to be a mole.
No, you got it asked backwards. They got her to meet up with him and become his girlfriend while he was her girlfriend. That's when he had that attack and found out he was allergic to sesame seeds. That's when it was revealed, and that's how she knew.
It's in there. Oh, I thought that was set up so that she could get close to him.
No. It was showing that they knew how they could kill him and make it look like an accident. They weren't implying that they were responsible for that.
I read that the wrong way.
I would say red the wrong way,
but that's me.
All that about like the data mining and collecting people's private information.
Yes.
I mean, that could be part of the antitrust thing too. You're breaking federal laws and collecting data. That's a huge story. They basically get them for murder. Let me remind you.
Yes.
they bring up the technology is the main focal point of this movie, yet it refuses to let it be part of the main part of the plot. I mean, I honestly consider the whole, what is it?
Synapse.
The fucking universe. Synapse. I really feel like that was more of a MacGuffin in this whole film. And it was just about the murders, just about proving he committed murder. That's it.
Yes.
He reveals that he also stole ideas from people, but I mean, I think the murder is really what's going to nail it to him. You know.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a sticking point.
And it's such a cheap, it almost feels like the script was originally an intelligent film about that kind of stuff. And studios were like, you know, we need some murders in here. You know,
it's too boring.
Really? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's murders in the firm. We need murders in here. We gotta spice it up a bit. It just feels like an idea that went south, or an idea that was never fully developed like it should have been.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's scenes in this movie where I'm looking at the technology and what they're doing, and I'm like, all right, this isn't bad. I mean, obviously, this movie got shit on quite a bit because the technology aspect of it, as what Hollywood does best, is they don't get it right. But there were some aspects where it's like, okay, that I get that with the technology, and they did a couple of things right, but they did almost everything else wrong. So it's one of those movies where all you need is someone that is in this business enough to write a review back then, tear it apart, and then nobody likes this thing. Now the review, the critics, just for Rotten Tomato comparison, we'll get to the IMDb score later when we rate it. I think it's something like 23% critics, and I was actually surprised at how high it was, 50% audience score. So, yeah, I was like, the dialogue in this isn't great. It's not the worst. It's not horrible. It's not the worst. But the dialogue, I mean, like, look at this guy, the fucking Limp Bizkit over here, fucking murdering people. This guy doesn't look like he could murder anything.
Okay. Here's
He's
what
like
I will
Jack
say.
Black that- light.
Here's what I will say I did appreciate in the film as far as the story goes, or or the narrative. When the girlfriend that's actually a secret mole is revealed, but then like they actually like end up on good terms in the third act, I kind of like that. That took me off guard because I was expecting your typical, now that he finds out he's going to end up, you know, she'll be part of it. I felt that but then they ruined that because I felt that Lisa betraying them was cheap second twist to throw in.
Yeah,
because that means they didn't let her in on the other guy with the security guard, but then how did he suspect she was a mole as well? That part didn't make any sense. But I did like the security guard arc. I did not see that coming at all. Right. Maybe it was a little unearned, but when that happened, I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. I like it now.
Well, you know, it's just one of those little gems where it's like, you want to hate him because he's like, yeah, they make fun of me because I'm not a tech person, you know, because he's an ex-cop.
Well,
but then later on, like you said, his story arc goes, and he's very, very excited about taking, you know, people like, it's like, he's taking this for the he's taking it for the paycheck. That's all he's taking it for. You know?
Yeah.
And
he's not loyal to the brand.
No. Yeah. And he has his ways. It's like, listen, you see someone walking around these hallways without a badge, you report it. And if you don't report it, then you're in trouble too. It's like, because he's an ex-cop and that's how, you know, shit gets done.
And that's also how corporate is in the real world too. Maybe not that rude, but yeah, if someone doesn't have a badge, I've been there. So I know you've got a similar thing going, but not.
Well, we don't have badges, you know, in my office, but
level. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Never mind. I don't want to make it sound like I'm walking through the White House or anything. yeah. So I think what the problem is like the film is such a textbook, like formulaic, you know, step by step by the numbers screenplay that every now and then it subverts a trope. And that's the fun part. That's the little adrenaline rush. This guy that I thought they were going to set up to use as like a foil at the end, he's actually teaming up with them now. I like this. Yeah, you know, it was a little.
I didn't mind it either. I actually did enjoy it myself. You know, I like when they go into the radio station and he asks them, the security guard, because you want to be famous, want to be on the right side of history. And he's just like,
No.
What was the exact quote?
The exact quote was, hey, you want to be a part of history? And the guy's like,
no,
not really. The most, and that's the I love the transposition between the two security guards. Just right. Like the, you know, and at the end they both turn. It just for different reasons. This guy for like $138. The other guy for, you know, getting the bad guys.
Yeah, exactly.
No, that was a good part too. I like that.
Yeah, no, I it was good. And then, you know, they're running through because they were gonna. It was a front, but they were going to broadcast out of the radio station. But it was obviously, what the fuck? I can't think today. It's like my brain is half here. It was a, oh, help me with the word.
The mouse?
No.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about them going to the radio station and they were really in Studio 21. Diversion. Jesus.
Right.
Fuck. Yes,
diversion.
That hurts. My brain hurts.
I get those. I get those. I know. It's the madness virus. It's kicking in.
Is that what it is?
Just okay. Brace yourself. Yeah, right. Brace yourself.
I apologize to everyone. So, and it was funny because they're running through, like, they're doing yoga. And it runs by the woman. She's like, you know, asshole. It's like little things like that.
The fight sequence around the yoga lady.
Yeah, I mean, like it really doesn't add anything to the film's plot, but it made me giggle a little bit. So, you know, it's like, all right, I'll add a point to you.
Yeah. Well, the thing and the two, they're trying to inject action into people sitting at their computers, so that's why you had that weird let me spend 5 minutes escaping from them just to get caught at the last minute in the third act, and then, like, you know, we got to stretch out this long scene of how long will it take him to walk across campus before he finishes looking at these files. You know, they're trying to put tension and action into a film about hackers or not even hackers, coders. So
yeah,
if that's what they're called.
And this film came out what, 6 years after? Yeah, 6 years. Yep, 6 years after the film Hackers came out in 1995, this came out in 2001.
But they thought they were taking like a serious look at it. But yeah. It still has that. But it still feels like it's on like an 80s or 90s level of just superficial boilerplate cinema.
Yeah, I mean, definitely is definitely 90s level, and we've had that talk before, where movies, the first couple years of movies still feel like the previous decade because we're not out of that decade long enough yet. And that's very apparent with movies in the 70s, 80s, 90s, and early 2000s.
I think the 90s, we could talk about this in a separate episode, but I think the 90s, we took a dip in quality in films.
We absolutely did. And I blame Terminator 2 for that. You know, I really do. And for anyone that doesn't understand what I'm saying there is...
Oh, nope.
What?
Nope, you can say that, but you can't explain it. We got to move on.
Well, now everyone is thinking, I need to know what he's about to say.
Right, and we'll do a different episode on that, and they'll tune in for it.
Oh,
so,
dude,
come on.
I would never listen to this show again if I was in my car and that just transpired. All right,
make it quick. Make it snappy.
I'll make it very, very quick. So, in the early 90s, Industrial Light and Magic did the special effects for Terminator 2, and it was groundbreaking. So what ended up happening is a lot of other studios were following that lead of doing special effects like that. So what ended up happening on top of that is studios were spending less money and doing shortcuts because they was like, we can just do it with CGI. I mean, and in the early time, Terminator 2, groundbreaking. You still watch that movie today, it still looks pretty damn good. But other companies didn't have the same money, but had the same technology. So they took a lot of shortcuts, and a lot of movies in the 90s suffered from that. So when you say there was a dip in quality, 100% correct. And it really had to do with the beginnings of that special effects rejuvenation with CGI from Terminator 2 on. Because the summer before with Total Recall, was almost all stop motion still.
Yeah, now that's not the reason I feel that the quality dipped. But I think that also was a contributing factor. So I think that's correct as well. I don't disagree with you, but I'm going to pivot and tell you one of the things that really annoyed me in this fucking movie.
Go for it.
the secret server. What was it? The Olympus?
Yeah.
Oculus?
Not Oculus.
Something like that.
It was just on the screen in one of the slides. I can pull it up if you really need to know the name.
No. I don't care. It's stupid. So the studio that they're building, the broadcast studio that they're building on campus is a red herring. And he figures out that the mouse in front of the children's play school is an antenna, and that they're using the children's daycare, the children's daycare for workers there. They're using it as a cover, and that's where they're keeping the servers. So here's my big problem with that. Not only are they just keeping the servers there, they have those servers hooked up to all the monitors that the children use all day.
Right. And they're spying on all their employees.
They're spying on everybody. That's not their employees. They're spying on other hackers.
Yes.
That's not employees.
Well, I thought some of them were employees and some of them were hackers.
Well, the ones he was showing were hackers, because they're showing that he's spying on independent hackers in their garages or whatever, and then killing them as soon as they come up with a good idea.
Yeah, there was another part where they were zooming in on their code and just stealing it off their screen without even having to go take it.
Yeah, and the angle of that's a different fucking argument. But so every single month, so this is the daycare where kids are encouraged to play with these fucking computers. Yeah, and you can go on any computer, type in a random code, and you can, like he does, and access the main server and all of the secret shit that no one's supposed to know, which is why they're hiding it in a daycare.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Because the
whoa, you're breaking up. You're breaking up. You're breaking up.
Boards that doesn't apply to toddlers.
You're breaking up. You're breaking up.
What?
Nobody heard what you said because you broke up for
how am I now?
Like 7 seconds. You're good now. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Where'd you lose me?
With kids using the computers.
Yes, it's like the infinite number of monkeys on a keyboard. The writing Shakespeare. Eventually, one of those kids is accidentally going to type in a code, and oh, geez, we've got secret footage, we've got secret files that coming up on these panels. It's stupid.
They
can't reroute. Like they can't reroute those servers to a different, like a computer in a different room or something. Like when the guy comes back, he's like, "Oh, I got to check in on everything." And later, they're sitting in a different room monitoring everybody. So why do you have access in the fucking kids' room? Why can you do that?
Yeah, I mean, the whole point of having a server room is to put the goddamn server in there. I mean,
what?
Or host it off-site. Host it off-site.
It's just a reason to have that drawn-out sequence. It makes no sense whatsoever. And here's the worst part.
Well, listen, they're trying to be smart because most people are not techie and won't really put the two together.
Yeah. No, you're right. Definitely. It's definitely not a point that the writers considered. So the audience, most of the audience isn't going to consider it.
Right.
But during the opening credits, they have that when they have them doing the Steve Jobs talking about somebody in their garage could take me out of business. And they flash to overhead shots of people working in their garages. Those are the actual shots from the secret cameras. And if you watch, you can see the kids' monitor borders of the monitor. They didn't even like take different footage for that. Everything else is real footage. Right. So, I mean, I'm not necessarily saying it's a mistake or an error, but it's a big fucking spoiler.
Yeah.
I didn't care.
So I didn't notice it.
Well, I mean, I'm just pointing out reasons why the film just is
I
very.
Have a hard time, you know, I have a hard piecemeal. Time reviewing techie films because I'm so submerged in it that it's kind of the last thing I want to think about. So, like, I watch this movie, I can review this movie, unless I took notes, I'm going to have a hard time pointing out things like you just said, because I gloss over them. I do. I know it's a bad film. Don't make me take notes, please.
Well, I'm just pointing out some things I didn't like.
That's no, all. I love it. I'm glad you're bringing you even it up.
You even have the freeze frame ending.
Oh, that was atrocious. You know what's funny? So, I had to stop the movie short yesterday, and I literally had 15 minutes left of it. And my son is in the room, and he's 13, and he looks over and he goes, "Oh, what is that?" I was like, "Oh, this is a horrible movie about technology and you know, companies that are screwing around with like antitrust laws and stuff." And then he sees like the ending, the freeze frame, and he's just like, he goes, "Oh my God, this is terrible." And that's only the last 15 minutes. And he's also 13, and he probably has more tech in him than Hollywood did when this movie was made, you know,
because technology
for kids these days, it's amazing. He's gonna make me look dumb when he is out in the world, if he's in a technology career.
Definitely.
So, yeah. No, it's just...
But, yeah, I think the biggest crime of this film is just being so underwhelming. You know, there's really nothing...
Yeah.
They're trying to sell everything on sex appeal... And again, like, the more attractive people you get when you're dealing with like geeks and nerds, and then you surround them with other people who aren't as attractive, it just feels like, ow. I think that Ryan Philippe does a better job than the two female characters. I don't know. Everybody's too perfect. It's too it's too much. It's too polished.
I can see that for sure.
That's the 90s.
It is, like I said, this movie's only 2 years in after the 90s. It's still
of the 90s.
Just look at any movie from any decade going into the next. That first couple of years of movies still feels like the previous decade. Although moved away from that a little bit. In the 2010s and the 2020s, those are
it's an evolution
blended together. They kind of have, whereas the 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000s, you can really tell the difference between all four of those decades. You really can. Cinema wise, absolutely. So,
I just hate that. Like, we talk about the 90s now, like it's old.
It is.
I know, that's what I hate.
Fucking years ago.
All right, rating.
All right. It's currently rated on IMDb.
6.1.
That's really high.
It is.
That feels really high. And I'm the first one to admit when something feels low, you know?
Yeah.
6.1 is Swordfish was 6.5. This is 6.1.
I feel like this film is the perfect example of a 5-star film.
Absolutely 5.
It has the competency behind it to make a decent film, but it has nothing inspiring. It's just something to fill up an hour and a half of time.
Yeah, this is the quintessential average 5 movie. You know,
nobody who starred in this film will ever talk about it again.
No.
Unless asked. None of them were ever going to... Hey, you know what was great? Was when I was working on antitrust, and I was like, no, nobody's doing that.
Yeah.
It's fodder.
The only way it would come up is like, you know what movie I had the most fun on? But the movie was terrible, but I had the most fun on? Antitrust. Oh, wow, really? I know, shocking, right? What a terrible movie, but I had so much fun making it. Like, that's probably as far as you ever get. With something
That was the craft service person. So I don't know if that counts.
I mean, listen.
Damn it! I was just gonna say something.
You were talking about how no one's gonna talk about the movie.
Yeah. No, I was going to go. There was something else about it I was just going to say, but now I can't think about it. Never mind.
Well, we rated it 5.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, this is the perfect example of a 5 film. I think it definitely gets a 5. Bam.
Ba-ba-ba-bam.
Now, so Joey and I have been talking a bit, and we're going to continue with the Wheel of Suck for, you know, maybe a few episodes, see how it goes.
Sure.
Why not?
Do something different.
Yeah. Yeah. I already had prepared a wheel with featuring films from the year 1996, which is the is how far back you go until we hit a year we haven't reviewed a film, formally reviewed a film.
Right.
But Joey wants to take it a bit further, so we will be compiling the ultimate Wheel of Suck, which will have 300 movie choices, and we will spin that wheel for the foreseeable future, near future, and just take the lumps as they come.
Absolutely, and just to add on to what Scott just said, so when we do this Wheel of Suck, it's a pie graph, basically, a wheel, and, oh, cerebellum. That's
cerebellum.
Cerebellum.
Oh, yeah, because smart people, brain.
Yeah. So it's got pie wedges, you know, just like a pizza, and it has a name of a movie in each one.
Oh, Synapse, now I get it.
Well, yeah.
Synapse. Now I get it. I thought it was a stupid name. Never mind. Go ahead.
So when it has those pie wedges, it has the names of the movies in it. Now, the Wheel of Suck can hold up to 300 movies, and that's what we're going to do. These are just going to be like black lines.
Really going to be able to read much.
I don't think you're going to read anything. I think it's going to look insane. So when it lands on something, I'm going to have to rely on the name of the film at the top of the app,
mm-hmm.
not the actual wedge.
Yeah.
All right, so let's go ahead and bring the Wheel of Suck. Let's bring that up.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to slide that over into the screen here. All right. Let's get you going over there. That way everyone can see ya. You know what? Let me move it over a little more. There we go.
Pass the Dutchie on the left-hand side, please.
Yeah. Let's see. Can I get you in here? Hold on. All right. Let me slide you back. Although I'm doing this for no reason. I'm trying to get you in here.
Well, no.
Where'd you go?
God damn it! Stop that. I'm actually watching on our live feed, so I can see what happens.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
There you are. Okay. Now I don't know if when I spin this, if you are gonna disappear on the screen, but we'll see. We'll see what happens.
I'm already gone, but don't worry about me. Just spin the wheel.
No,
man.
You're on the
spin
screen. You're on the screen. You should be back on now. It's like right, 5 second delay. Well, we got to talk about the movies first that are on the wheel.
Oh, that's right. Read the wheel.
The wheel, we got the film. You know, I still haven't seen this movie, Daylight. Still haven't seen that one.
I saw it in the theater, man. I hope it comes up.
Oh, my God. That's the one where they all get stuck in the Lincoln Tunnel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to this day, I still have that fear.
Holland Tunnel, really, I think.
I think.
Doesn't matter. It's fake tunnel.
Fake tunnel, but to this day, I still have a fear of the Lincoln Tunnel. Like when I drive through it, I'm like, all right, almost there, halfway there. God, okay, we got to the New York, New Jersey, because it has it on the wall when you enter New York. And it's like, okay, we're halfway there. And then it's like, okay, we're on the other side. Then I get to do it again on the way back. So, yeah, to this day, still haven't seen it. And I'm a sucker for anything that's even remotely takes place in New Jersey. So, then The Phantom. Oh, God.
Ghost Who Walks Cannot Die.
Jesus Christ. The Phantom. That's the one with Billy Zane.
Mm-hmm.
I've
never seen it.
I saw that in a theater. Chris made me go. And, yeah, he made me go see that one. He's like, what are you doing right now? I'm like, I'm not doing anything. Let's go to a diner and let's go see The Phantom. I don't want to see The Phantom. Come on. I don't want to see it alone. I'm like, all right, let's go. Jesus. Broken Arrow. Saw that in a theater, too. Did we see that together, or was that different groups?
I don't know, but I definitely saw it in a theater.
Yeah. The Crow 2, we saw that in a theater.
Yeah. You know,
we all know about that one, how that went down. Yeah, Kazam. Is that the one with Shaquille O'Neal?
Yeah, which I just watched recently because I'm editing like another music video and I'm using parts from that.
God, The Island of Dr. Moreau.
Oh,
I've seen that documentary. That's an interesting documentary. The Big Squeeze. Big Squeeze. Wait a minute.
Michael Keaton.
No, that's
Lottery.
No. I think the one you're thinking of with Michael Keaton is just called The Squeeze.
Oh, yeah. That's right. So that's right. What's The Big Squeeze?
What is The Big Squeeze? 96. Big Squeeze. Big
I forget
squeeze,
now, and I put squeeze. It on there.
The fuck is in that one? It's on the tip of my tongue of what it's about and who's in it. And I can't think of it.
I got it. Oh, it's
comedy.
I don't even remember this. Well,
the Squeeze came out in 1987, so it's the wrong year then.
I don't think that should be on there.
The Big Squeeze.
If that comes up, it's a wild card. That's a wild card.
Well, if it comes up, we'll spin it. If it comes up, we'll spin it again. Bloodsport 2 is next. Now, I didn't think that was a theatrical release.
I didn't check. I assumed it was because the first one was Gangbusters.
Van Damme isn't in it.
Yeah, but it was still, you know.
Yeah, I don't think that's a theatrical. If that comes up, we got to spin it again.
I did not do due diligence here. What else we got?
Bad Moon. What is Bad Moon? Is that a vampire or werewolf movie?
Werewolf movie, yeah.
Is that theatrical? Never heard of it.
Yeah. Yes. Come on. Give me some credit. We can double check. If whatever comes up, we'll double check.
Okay.
But.
Eraser, which is basically, it's a Terminator movie at one point where he comes up from the floor with the guns.
Schwarzenegger. Yeah.
But it's like, how can we make him look like Terminator? Let's dress him all in black and give him laser guns.
Don't review it now. Come on. Keep moving.
Maximum Risk. Never saw that one. At least I don't think
Chewie Hark's first. I believe it was Chewie Hark's first American directorial debut. I'd have to double check that.
Okay.
But I'm pretty sure Chewie Hark directed it.
Hellraiser 4.
I forget which one that is.
It's not in space. So, no, I think that one's still on Earth. also saw this in a theater. Barbed Wire.
Oh, I saw that with Brian and Doug.
Did you see that with me too? Did you see it more than once?
No. Maybe you were there. Maybe it was you and
not. Wait, hold on. So
No, I don't think you were there.
Well, hold on. This will tell you if I was there or not. At one point in the film, when they go to the junkyard, we couldn't stop laughing because we kept saying, The trash heap has spoken. Yes, I was fucking there.
Yeah, because Brian was there. Yeah, you were there.
I was there. Okay. The trash heap has spoken. Like, we couldn't fucking stop laughing. And
is
I don't
that
think
the last one?
Yes, that's the last one. And honestly, I don't think anyone minded. But
nah.
No.
It wasn't.
We were one of those audiences where it's like, please stop talking. I'm trying to enjoy this. But then I don't think anyone was. So we were just adding to the humor. We were making it better. Mm-hmm. All right,
that'll be a nice one to revisit if it comes up.
Are we ready to spin?
Yes.
Let's do it. Oh, what do we got? What do we got? Big money. No whammies. Oh. The Phantom. The fucking Phantom.
The Phantom. Oh.
Why?
Ghost Who Walks Cannot Die. I've never seen that film. I've avoided it my whole life, but I do have it, and I'll be watching it this weekend.
Jesus Christ, the fucking Phantom. Dude, there's one part in the movie where he walks out and puts his hands on his hips, Superman style. I'm like, shut the fuck up. Like, he didn't even say anything. He just walks out and does it. I'm like, fuck you.
That's when they were still trying to do superhero films. That's going to be a good one.
I just look over at Chris, what... you know, he does it. I just look over at him, and he's just eating popcorn, just giggling. And I'm like, the fuck did you take me to?
Hey, don't worry. I got even with him when I took him to see Daredevil.
I was there, too.
Oh, I just remember him.
No, I was there, too. That when we left, it was starting to snow a little bit. I remember there was some snow on the ground. And I remember us walking, and we both had our hand on each one of his shoulders. And we're like, and we're both, sorry, dude. We're so sorry.
I just remember taunting him during the credits when the words turned into Braille. I was like, you get it? Because he's blind. He's like, shoot him. Shoot him. Shoot him. He was so pissed. That was the funniest thing
I mean, think about it. That's the one comic that he loved more than anything. And they
still don't understand it.
Went and just made, turned it into fucking soup. It was so bad.
All right, so let's wrap up. All and right. Next time you see us, we'll be talking about Billy Zane in The Phantom.
The Phantom. Oh. Dun, dun, dun. Fuck off. let's do that thing. All right, everybody. Thank you again, as always. We love it when you join us for these, or when you watch them later. It's what keeps us doing this. Go to our website, newly designed website, for moviesucktastic.com. You can download the show, you can listen to the show, and you can click on the YouTube video of what we're doing right now. It'll take you right to the YouTube page, and you can watch it there. You can go to iTunes, and you can listen to the show from there. You can go to facebook.com/moviesucktastic, and you can see everything that we post, from trailers to movie news to just what's on our mind. You can leave us email. The address is themovieguys@moviesucktastic.com, or you can leave us voicemail at 908-514-4470. And you can, we still got a Tumblr page that still exists.
It's still there. It's still there. I haven't really been doing much with it. Yeah, okay. I've been lax on the social media stuff. That's my bad. I apologize.
It's all right.
If anybody is listening to this and they're angry with the social media content we have, please reach out and digitally slap me in the face and I will fix it.
Sweet. You can go to our website and everything I just said is there. You can email us there. You can get the phone number from the voicemail. It's all there. Everything is there. Do you have any words of wisdom, Mr. Wilson?
Knowledge belongs to the people!
You can take
legalize it!
Take this code and use it! Sure.
Take this code and shove it.
There you go. All right, everybody. We'll talk to you next week when we review The Phantom.
They're watching you from inside the walls!
God save us, The Phantom. Hopefully we'll have that 300 movie Wheel of Suck up there.
It'll be there. It's ready.
It's gonna be fun. I think we should do that for more than just a few episodes. I think we should do that for a little while.
We'll see. We'll do it till we get tired of it.
We'll let fate decide.
Oh yeah.
All right, everybody. Bye bye.
Ciao.